Welcome to Terra Talks, where we talk about all things real estate. In each episode, we'll tackle current trends and topics of interest, both locally and regionally. However or wherever you decide to tune in, you're not going to want to miss this.
Yeah, so welcome everybody. I'm Hayden Hutton from Terra Caribbean Barbados, and I am over the moon to have Ryan DeVoe from Terra St. Lucia and Jean-Paul Demayac from Terra Trinidad here with us today, actually for the weekend for the 2024 Terra Caribbean Regional Conference. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Great to be here in Barbados with you guys.
So maybe what we would do is similar to what we did earlier today. It's just maybe one or two highlights on Trinidad market, one or two highlights on the St. Lucia market. I don't know who wants to go first. Just anything that comes to mind. Where is these sort of one or two things I really need to know about the Trinidad market?
Yeah, I would say the Trinidad market is quite different to your markets in that we cater mainly to Trinidadians and big corporate, right? So it was the oil and gas industry for the most part, letting up all of the office space in Port of Spain. That has changed significantly. In fact, we're starting to see vacancy rates actually lowering now after having climbed so much pre-pandemic and coming out of the pandemic.
Interesting.
So apart from the oil and gas industry, it's locals. We sell property to locals. Some of the challenges we continue to have, or developers continue to have, is producing product that is affordable. And we can get into that later, maybe as to why exactly, you know, where the issues lie in producing a product that Trinis can afford with combined incomes, you know. Mm-hmm. The environment is very conducive to investing in real estate in Trinidad. Mortgage rates are low, banks are full of money, and the government has incentives for first-time homeowners, etc. But so I guess that's just like the tip of the iceberg as to how our market is a bit different to you. We sell to Trinis, you guys sell to the world.
Ryan, from your perspective, maybe just headline thoughts.
Yeah, I think, well, St. Lucia, predominantly, 60% of the economy, tourism. So at the end of the day, a lot of our activity is centered around, you know, that tourism and the villa product. I mean, we manage 56 villas on the Blue Sky side. And then on the Terra side, you know, we see a lot of expats buying in St. Lucia and also St. Lucians. A lot of interest in and around like waterfront property in particular, the marina. I would say at the moment we've seen a shortage of supply, so we're seeing prices beginning to rise. One of the exciting projects at home is the whole Cabot Golf Course, which has brought a very affluent clientele. And I think already we're beginning to see, you know, spillover from that in terms of the houses on site, not yet having been built. Mm-hmm. But, you know, persons have bought land, golf course is open, so they're coming. And as a result, renting villas, and now some deciding to buy.
Mm-hmm. So Ryan was kind enough to take us up to the peak of whatever that mountain or hill was we were on the other day, looking down on Cabot. And I just said to Christian from Trinidad earlier, absolutely fantastic. And I think you were saying that there are many Bajan golfers who are going over there to play and saying, well, actually, as a course, it really is exceptional, even to what we have in Barbados.
Yeah, I think it debuted at 76 in the world, which, mm-hmm. you know, one of the senior golf magazine personnel was just in St. Lucia and saying, Ryan, do you understand this does not happen? This does, you know, do you understand how significant this is? And himself putting it in, you know, top five of courses mm-hmm. he's seen. I mean, he's seen mm-hmm. quite a few. So I think it is. It's a special course. It's a dramatic course.
Looks like a very difficult course to play to me. I mean, but beautiful, spectacular views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also then have some element of the commercial and so on. And I think the interest from Trinidad, you know, JP came up, joined us last year for the fishing tournament. And that was just to, you know, build our networks. And we have seen interest in some of our commercial property. I think more of that has been directed to Barbados. And St. Lucia, I think there are some opportunities at the moment, you know, some of the asking, you know, typically we have a market where, you know, established persons or families have property that don't need to sell. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, the gap in terms of the economics versus asking price is perhaps still significant, but who knows? I think in due course that maybe.
So list prices are still.
Yeah, because it's not been historically a desire to sell. But you're now having these inquiries of, you know, we would like to, you know, move capital within the region. And so, trying to mesh now that interest with, you know, finding suitable projects. And then, as JP would said, which is somewhat unrelated, but also to just build costs. You know, if they're going to do like a development, mixed use condos and so on, you know, can I develop a product that can then sell for this price? Is something else we're now looking at. You know, generally our construction costs, I would say in the region, are high. So
construction costs, single family residential dwelling in St. Lucia, a house in Kappa State, US dollars, if you were building a 3,500 square foot house, what sort of rate per square foot? I mean, Barbados would probably start at 200 US, depending on the quality of what you were building.
Yeah, I, would you say so we can build for more like 100, 150. I mean, it goes up, right? It goes up from there, but we can build from 100 or less.
100 US dollars a foot, in some cases less. Wow. What about in St. Lucia, Ryan? What's your sense?
Again, I mean, it's always a hard question to answer, depending on the finishes and so on.
Yeah, so
right?
Middle so market housing.
I would put in at around the, you know, 150 US if we're talking.
Right.
And then the highest we've seen recently was at a 400 US. Very modern, you know, a lot of electrical, et cetera, in the home. So that, you know, I know that's a broad range. No, that's the high, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, the highs would certainly get up to 1,000 US quite quickly.
Right.
Interesting question. Most in demand in the Trinidad market, like what product would be most in demand? Is it, you know, residential housing or a certain...
Yeah, so so when I say 100 US, I'm talking about building for Trinidadians, right? So it's affordable housing. And the challenge that developers face, or one of the many challenges they face in producing an affordable product, is not only that construction cost, but the bureaucracy involved in bringing it to completion, right? And getting completion. So you've got, obviously you've got a difficult labor pool to deal with as well, but a developer comes to the table, buys a piece of land, borrowed money from the bank, buys a piece of land, then has to go through the process of getting approvals before he starts to build, right? So before he starts to build, he's on bridging finance. And then right through to the very completion certificate, the regional completion certificate. Before he gets that, he's got to get the WASA approval, the TNTAC approval, the fire approval. And the regulatory authorities just don't move as quickly as we would like them to, or the developer needs them to. So, of course, that drives up the cost to the purchaser, the end purchaser. And it's almost impossible to build something that the people can afford. So you ask, what is the high demand item on the market? Is affordable housing, call it. So $1.7 million TT dollars is a sweet spot for house and land, 5,000 square feet of land, 1,700 square feet of building.
250 US, roughly, 250K US.
Thereabouts.
What about St. Lucia, Ryan? What would your sense be of just where that huge pent-up demand is?
I think, again, in that affordable, for our St. Lucian market, it would be that affordable home from, you know, 400 up to 700, easy.
Easy.
So, you know, 150 US up to just under 300, I would say.
Got a lot of commonalities.
Yeah. And then, as I say, for the you know, the expat market, like that condo type development in or around the water, in, you know, between 350 to 550 would be a, you know, we see a, you know, a lot of transacting in there. And then in the villa markets, again, most of our activity is six to less than a million US is where we see most of the activity. You know, I have listings above that, but list times then can be quite a bit longer. So those would be, you know, the different segments as I see it.
Biggest mistake most vendors make, people looking to list and sell their property. What's sort of a common one, JP, that
the most difficult thing for us is managing vendors' expectations, right? I mean, there's been a lot of money flowing in Trinidad for a long time, and people were getting what they asked for the most part, and any
getting
of their
list prices, they were getting the ask.
Getting the ask, and they could wait, and a lot of them can still wait. So they've come out of times where they were getting, call it a million US for a house. The market has changed, but they're still holding and hoping for $1 million US when the market is at 800, right?
So the vendors aren't moving with the market based on the advice.
Yeah, that's right. And for the most part, they don't need to. That's where they sit comfortably and they can wait.
Mm-hmm. Similar in St. Lucia?
I think so. I think, you know, in particular, some of the, like, you know, higher end homes and so on, where, you know, again, the activity at that end of the market, just, you know, typically there's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even to, you know, just talking to land prices, I use the example of, you know, Cap Estate, and that the average selling price there is 23 EC a square foot, where I think most people would think it's a lot higher. That is the average. There's a range.
About 10 US.
9 US. Yeah.
9,
yeah,
10 US.
Yeah. Whereas again, you know, you get new listings and they're typically always higher. And, you know, so then you have a discussion, okay, what's motivation to sell, timeline to sell, and the importance again of the data that we have. So you can present and say, you know, here is the data set of, you know, what things have actually traded at.
Right.
This is the market. And then again, if you want to sit and wait, which some are happy to do, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, if, you know, you want to sell within a reasonable time frame, this is where we will advise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see some that will take the advice and some that, you know, won't. And, you know, as I say, perhaps they can, you know, they're willing to wait. Or others, some then get frustrated, you know, why am I not seeing any interest? Because they do want to sell.
But JP told you what's the right price. You didn't listen to what JP said. What about purchasers? Biggest mistake purchasers make. Vendors tend to list at their numbers because the neighbor told them they could get that, or their friend or family or colleague told them. What about purchasers, boy?
So buying is instinctive and emotional, and they, you know, they get excited and they jump into it quite often without maybe being pre-qualified, without maybe selling what they have first, without really thinking it through.
Mm-hmm.
So we always drive people to the bankers first to ensure that they're qualified, that they're making good financial decisions before they start throwing offers out.
Mm-hmm. So they're not ready. They're not really ready. What do you think, Ryan?
I think similarly with the issue with, you know, financing and getting financing approved. We've seen that take quite a long time. And so if you have someone that, even in some cases when pre-approved, we see it take a while. But, you know, if you come to it without having done those steps, then we've seen it take a very long time, mm-hmm. which can lead to frustration on the part of, you know, vendors and or even then, you know, moving, you know, to reopening the property for other bids, which leads to an unhappy buyer, obviously, if, you know, they end up not being able to close, and or just very extended closing periods.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I say, coming primarily from finance, we do have the, you know, the, I would say, the bureaucratic steps that you've mentioned as well, but generally you can plan for those within a month. I would say typically in St. Lucia those would work.
So you raise an interesting one, another good one to compare in Barbados. Now I think that we are probably somewhere closer to 4 to 6 months from offer to conveyance, single family dwelling, straightforward sale. I think the off-the-shelf answer is 3 months.
Yeah.
But the reality is probably 4 to 6 months to get it done. What would it be in Trinidad?
Not as long in Trinidad. 3 to 4 months. They generally drag over, but not as long as you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we do a 90-day close, which would be 3 months. And then typically, well, not typically, you know, you may go into a fourth month. If it's a St. Lucian buyer, if you're a foreign buyer, then we have the Alien Land Holdings license. And that process can take 4 to 6 months. So if it's an ALH up front, then you may extend that closing.
And what period does that look like for anybody who's watching or listening?
The Alien Land Holdings process. So if you're a non-national, and national would be defined as including a CARICOM person, as long as we have reciprocity. So if a St. Lucian can go to, you know, we're here in Barbados, come here to Barbados and buy without, we will honor, you know, as a CARICOM national, you do not need a license. If you're outside of that, then you need the Alien Land Holdings license. That's a two-step process. You get a certificate of eligibility, which says, you know, they've done all the due diligence screening and that, you know, we've approved you to buy. And then once you decide on the property, you get the actual license. So it's a two-step process. It was intended to be a 48-hour approval, but it has become more than that at this stage. And then once you have that, then, you know, you're able to proceed and buy, you know, move ahead with the clothes as a non-national person.
So we have for the weekend for Caribbean Conference, St. Lucia, Trinidad, Grenada, Barbados. We just had a bit of a small demo, a brief demo of the new cloud-based real estate system. Your thoughts, JP?
Amazing, man. Amazing. I mean, always cutting edge. I have to give you guys that. And we're very excited about it, about embracing this new technology to take our service level to the next level.
Yeah, no, very excited. I mean, we can't wait. If we can get it tomorrow, it'd be great. We've been waiting.
We're coming soon.
But it's coming soon. We're excited. I think it creates, you know, significant competitive advantages, and the power of that, you know, that knowledge, and then just being able to, as we say, inform our clients, you know, so that they can make decisions from a position of knowledge and make, you know, good decisions. I think it just helps enable that, and enables us to, you know, share that information, share that knowledge with the market, with clients, etc.
Yeah,
agreed.
In a friendly, you know, easy, user-friendly way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking this morning when we were in the room of the early days when Andrew and I started looking, you know, and the thought is, well, you know, you could go and get something from one of the U.S. franchisees, see what system, Coldwell Banker or Century 21 or any one of the Anywhere brands have. The decision back then to say, well, actually, why don't we go ahead and just build our own? But it's interesting just to think this morning, here we are in Barbados, four territories, with an in-house software development team building our own software, common platform across the region. It actually is pretty cool.
Are we a real estate company or are we a technology company?
Exactly.
We're a little bit of both, huh?
So another fun one I thought we could talk about is what are the traits of the top producing agents in our office? What are the traits? You know, we some time ago, I had done a matrix of our full team of agents looking at their background. Do they have a university degree? Have they had another career in something else? Are they younger, sort of more of a TikTok generation where they adapt to technology quicker? Trying to find those themes of what really are the common themes present in a high-performing agent. And of course, there's no science behind it, but I'm happy to go first. I think discipline, drive, empathy, having that empathy for clients, both on the sell side and the buy side. So discipline, drive, empathy, and probably also a little bit of ego. Not necessarily ego in an arrogant way, but ego in more of a, you think I can't do it? I'm going to, as an underdog, go off and show you that I'm going to do it. What do you think? I mean, as you think of your team and the ones that really produce well.
Yeah, so it comes down to relationships and it's support, offering support, having the information, being willing to share it, being open with your client and your customer. And I always say, you know, service first, put the service first and everything else will follow. And that's what we do well. That's what we do well. We hold hands with the customer. We walk them through the process, show them everything that's available, and they make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm. What's your sense, Ryan?
I agree with all of that you've said as well. The relationships for sure, the discipline. I think to just knowledge, right? Sometimes, you know, you sit
That's what we come back to.
You have clients that come into a market, in our case at least, you know, as I say, we have a large percentage of our business that's you know, from outside, expat. And just, you know, beginning, you know, being able to quickly, I think, trust that the advice they're getting or that, you know, you're guiding them appropriately. And then that just spreads, you know, you get referrals and your network continues to grow. And then come back to the point on discipline, you know, just the service, following up, you know, doing what you say you're going to do, et cetera, I think, you know, just sets you apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of then feeds on itself, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Sirhan says that the three Fs the agents have to do, they have to follow up, follow through, follow back. And I think he's quite right. You know, there's a simplicity in that he's quite right. So maybe in closing, because I'm just watching the time, there are a few Mythbusters that I think, I don't think Charlie's in the room, but they do these Mythbusters where you state a myth and you have to say, is it true or is it just a myth? So maybe the one that I would ask you, JP, is it true that we're the same person?
I say true.
Is it true? You say true? I say not.
Absolutely not.
I got you.
Before we go, so I wanted to say that the Trinidadians have always shopped outside of Trinidad, right? And continue to do so. And I think the regional presence really does a lot for us offering regional packages, right? Or regional property to Trinidadians. Mm-hmm. So anybody who may be watching who has property in Barbados, St. Lucia, Grenada, income generating assets, or maybe just properties have been sitting on their books for a while that they need to get something done with it. Bring it to the team, bring it to any of our team at Terra Caribbean regionally. Mm-hmm. We can package this, offer this to the right individuals in Trinidad, and you may be pleasantly surprised at the interest you get in your local market.
Mm-hmm. It's a point well made. I think of some of the regional clients for whom we all work, be it a Massey, a company for whom I know you guys have had great success in Trinidad. Recently, we've acted for them here, or whether one of the larger insurance companies, some of the larger Trinidad water bottling company that you have in St. Lucia as well. And I think there are many of them, it's a point well made, larger regional clients that we should remind that we're here and can provide that forum to market their properties. Anything else you wanted to mention? You told me something earlier you wanted to mention. You forgot?
Well, I wanted to know. I mean, I have to say I was quite surprised that Barbados can produce such good-looking men like yourself, Hayden.
Well, as a former male model, I have to acknowledge what you've said and thank you for that. But actually, I'm a trainee.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Guys, a real pleasure to have you all in Barbados here with us. We should do more of this, and we plan to do that in the coming months. So stay tuned for more content from Barbados, Trinidad, and St. Lucia, Terra Caribbean. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.